This is Stacking the Box with NFL insider Matt Bertaram and Mark Carman. It is the Super Bowl that we expected, at least on one side of the coin. Congratulations to the Kansas City Chiefs. Matt Bertaram, congratulations to you, pal. You are in the Super Bowl back-to-back years. That's pretty incredible, Bertaram. By the way, I was 1 for 2 this week. I said that Green Bay was going to smack around Tampa and that the Chiefs were going to really smack around the Bills. So 1 for 2 for me. I guess we should start with the Chiefs because that's what you love. But the other game was obviously way better. But congratulations, Bertaram. How are you feeling?
Great. I feel great.
I bet you do.
It was wonderful, man.
Yeah. So when it was 9-0, how worried were you, buddy?
You know what? As anybody who knows or listens to this podcast, they know that my dad's a Chiefs fan, and we spend we always watch the games from Chicago. Now we spend the game on the phone together. My father was a frantic, screaming mess at 9-0, furious that he thought this was the only way they could lose a game, and what are they doing? I actually was oddly very calm. I thought the first two possessions, Buffalo was really struggling to move the ball. The only Chiefs possession was Hill dropping a wide open deep ball. I felt like if the Chiefs just don't beat themselves, they're going to win. The Bills is like Josh Allen looks like he has no idea what he's looking at in coverage. And once they got going, that was ball game. I mean, from there on out, it was 38-6 before garbage time. And
Am I missing something here? I like Josh Allen. I think he's fantastic. I think he's
Josh Allen's great. He just wasn't tonight.
I mean, I didn't even hate what he did tonight. There was a lot going against him. He had to, you know, there was a significant amount of pressure. I mean, he ran for 88 yards. He threw for 287. Yeah. I had no problem with Josh Allen.
Some of the passing yards, a lot of the passing yards was in garbage time.
Sure. But
hear it's a point well taken, Carm. I'll put it this way.
They didn't lose because of him. That's at all.
No, they lost because they just got destroyed. But I mean, listen, I agree with all that. I'll say this, though. There was a lot of talk, even this morning on ESPN on Fox, that Josh Allen is a better quarterback.
Listen, yeah, I know where that's. What was that?
People who have temporarily lost their minds. I hope they found them now. But look, my point is, if Allen's going to be considered in the MVP-type conversation, which he deserves to be based off the year he had, you got to play better than that. He missed some open throws. He threw two balls a flat, should have been picked. I mean, he's dropped two balls, one of which, my God, it was right in Ward's hands. Allen was not the reason they lost, but he also did not do enough to keep them in the game. So I agree with you, but if you're going to hold him to that high a regard, then he's got to play better than that. And tonight, when his team needed him to make some of those, like, oh my God, type of plays, they were nowhere to be found. Now, give credit to KC, but Allen's got to give you some of that as well if he's that level of quarterback.
You think the Bills are kicking themselves right now, thinking, man, we should have prioritized our coverage differently and not let Travis Kelce have a crazy evening?
Well, I think, you know, the idea certainly wasn't to let Hill and Kelce go for over 300 yards. I mean, that I can tell you, that was not the damn game plan. Do you know that other than those two guys, the leading receiver for the Chiefs was Byron Pringle at 22 yards? The Chiefs literally the entire game were just like, Hill and Kelce, here it comes.
Well, and, you know, you've got to be worried about Tyreek Hill so that underneath Kelsey's going to have, a field day, and he did.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't know. I mean, you would think that you'd be able to take away a little bit more than they were able to take away here. But,
early in week six, they sagged off and they played a lot of just 7-man and coverage type of defensive looks. And they did do a decent amount of that again, a lot of it again. The problem was in the first game, the Chiefs ran the ball a ton. And in this game, the Chiefs were like, you're going to give us 10 yards every time we throw the ball? Fantastic. We're going to throw the football. They didn't run particularly well, though the stats kind of skewed because Hardman had that 50-yard run. But they didn't even try. They didn't care. I mean, they just lined up and just threw it and threw it and threw it. And I thought the halftime adjustment from Frazier had to be, look, even if you give up the big bomb, you got to come up. You got to try to choke off these easy, because otherwise it's just an 8-yard drive to the end zone instead of 4 plays. But they never came up. And I think that ultimately was because they were so horrified of getting beat deep that they just figured, we're going to make it tough on you. And if you can sustain a 10-play drive, fine, we lose. The Chiefs sustained it over and over and over, and that's what happened.
I think my favorite moment of the entire game was the Hardman fumble, and then when he put the coat over his head, sitting up. That was phenomenal. That's got to be a GIF or something. Is it a GIF or a GIF?
GIF.
Thank you very much. You know what? I was also impressed by the Chiefs went right back to him. Propping him up, and it's not the first time that Mecole Hardman's had a moment like that. But he bounced back, I guess, at least a little bit. And end of the day, I mean, I'm sitting there like, it's 9-0. That's like less than zero. They were down, 24-0 last year, whatever the hell it was against the Texans.
Yeah.
But there was like, you were slightly lingering concern at that point where I'm with your dad that you weren't 100% certain that Mahomes was going to be Mahomes because of the injury. So that, I guess, was a maybe at least worthy of 2% of concern, but that was quickly out the window.
Yeah. And, so if you're the Chiefs down 9-0, all you're saying is, okay, we just need to get a drive. We just need to get one drive, stabilize the game, put it in the end zone. I'll be very honest with you. When they got up 14-9 in this game,
I felt like
this game's done. Because they can't stop them. They're just not going to stop Kansas City. And I knew the Chiefs got the ball coming out of half. But when I really thought it was over, 21-9, and you're kicking a friggin' field goal from the 2-yard line.
Yeah, that was.
I mean, listen, I like Sean McDermott. Bro, why didn't you just take the ball and punt it through the uprights? Because that's basically what you did. What is that?
Well, and also late in the game, not that it mattered, but his math was very interesting when he chose to go for two. Hey, dude, you might want to make it a 2-score game. It was sitting at 17 at that point. He's trying to get it to 15. Dude, kick the extra point, make it 16. All right.
Yeah.
Not that it mattered, but that was just interesting math at that point. But hey, you're moving on, and congratulations. Before we go over to Green Bay and whatever the hell happened there with Matt LaFleur, and I we'll get to that in a second. But what would you say, Matt Verrepsitz, on the rundown? What left you most impressed with the Chiefs as they go to the Super Bowl in back-to-back years?
I mean, they were pretty impressive. God, man. You know what I guess it would be ultimately? Look, in the micro sense of this game itself, Mahomes is just unbelievable. I mean, just absolutely. It was basically like, here it comes. I'm Patrick Mahomes and you're not. That might be the worst analysis I ever give, but I really like, that's what it felt like. In the macro, man, like, it's just so hard to be this dominant. Like, I don't ever take it for granted. And, you know, we talk about this, I mean, we're friends, and I know you're such a huge Bulls fan. I think, but like, I'm sure for you, when they were winning all those titles after years of them being awful when you were younger, like, I'm sure you're like, you never took it for granted. Like, you understand, if you're a fan of a certain age, how hard it is to even get to a Super Bowl, to win one Super Bowl. Like, that is 54 teams in the history of the league have done that. That is hard. And then to get back and to just do it with relative ease. I mean, just not even be. And then, you know, the Cleveland game, the scare late with Mahomes, they got to win with Henny. And I mean, they're 26-1 in Mahomes' last 27 starts. It's a joke. It's like not even a real number. It's like a video game. It's incredible how great they've been.
So, yeah, and you like to bring up the Jordan comparison. Basketball and football, memo to everybody listening to the podcast, those are two different sports. So, you know, I always felt like the Bulls were never going to lose because it's a 7-game series. You ain't beating Mike 4 times. Ain't happening. So I was always confident in the 90s that you know, the Bulls are going to win and the season would end. I'm like, oh, they're going to win again next year. I mean, they just were. And I thought they would have won it again in 99 if they had kept the team together. That's a story for a different podcast. But, so that's what, to me, you know, football, you know, anything can happen. But it's also like, look, that was the AFC Championship game today. Verderam, with all due respect, I was bored. Game was boring. They were just better. You know, once we got to halftime, I was like, okay, this is over. So I will get to, we have a lot of podcasts before now in the Super Bowl, but I'm expecting Kansas City to kill the Bucks. What's the line? Has it come out yet? I'm sure it
three
has.
And a half. Like
three.
Three
and a half. See, I'd pound Kansas City. Pound. And you know, here we could let's talk Tom. I mean, this guy, I mean, 10th time to the Super Bowl, 10 times, 43 years old. And same thing here. What you know, were you impressed by Brady? Yeah, I was impressed by Brady, despite the fact that he threw three interceptions. This, you know what impressed me the most about him? This is not true, but the game's over. He walks over to the stands and he asks the usher, is it okay if I say hello to my son? Like, that's amazing. Like, you're Tom Brady. You don't have to ask permission to say hello. You can do whatever the hell you want to do, but he's, is it okay if I just ask permission? I'm like, this guy is just phenomenal. And then he's doing the post game thing. Like, hey, can you get somebody else up here? I don't, you know, I've answered enough questions, but you could just tell early, man, at least from my perspective, that the, you know, it was not going to be the Packers' day. You could just feel like a lot of tension on their side of the field. Did you get that sense? Because I was like, Green Bay looks tight, man. And they played tight, and they made huge mistakes when they shouldn't have. And it just, you have to feel absolutely horrendous right now if you're a Packer fan. Or yeah. Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Matt LaFleur, whoever you want to pick.
Man. I actually, like, I very rarely feel this way. I just, I don't know. I think the athletes are professional athletes, and it is what it is. It's part of the deal. I actually felt really bad for Rodgers. Like, they had everything lined up for them this year. I know Bakhtiari got hurt. I get all that. But he's 38. They went 13-3. They were clearly the best team in the NFC. And this is the first time he had an NFC title game at home. I get this, you know, the pandemic and whatnot. It's different, but it was on his racket. And I thought he was let down by his coaches in this game. I think there were some plays, you know, he may not like that back, but I mean, ultimately I thought he played great and they just fell apart around them coaching wise. I mean, LaFleur and Pettine, my God, I mean, what was that?
Yeah, see, like, okay, so the touchdown, the what should have been a Hail Mary, but was just a straight go route to end the.
Yeah.
So it's like they were thinking, you know what, there's 6 seconds. They might actually have time to, you know, run a 5 yard out. And so we have to be concerned with that. It's like, dude, you can't put yourself in that position. I mean, that's what I think they were doing here. That's why it looked as bad as it did.
I'm not trying to put. Right.
Yeah.
But like, oh my God, just play cover two. Like what? Look, so for anyone out there who doesn't know this, and you probably already do, so I apologize. If I say like cover one or cover, all that means is the number is the number of safeties you have back. Okay. So cover one, the single high safety, they're responsible for the entire field. Cover two, you're splitting half field. Then cover three, which is what the Packers are in on that play, is the strong safety comes down, the free safety goes back, and the two corners on the outside go back. And so you're responsible for thirds of the field. The problem with that in a play call like that is you only have one safety deep. And so if either corner gets beat, there is nobody over the top, directly over the top. That safety's got to come all the way across. I mean, how you're not in cover two there? Who cares if he catches a five-yard pass? Like, it doesn't matter. That was – and by the way, the Buccaneers did everything imaginable to blow that game as the game went on. And the Packers were like, nah, it's all right. I mean, that play call, or the decision, I should say, by LaFleur on fourth and goal from the 8 yard line with 2:05 left, you're kicking a field goal? What the hell is that? You're down 8 points. You got the best quarterback, maybe alongside Mahomes, on earth. And you need a touchdown. And your answer to that is, we're going to kick a field goal, then kick it deep. Then hope to get a stop with a defense that, like, okay, maybe at best average. That was unbelievable. It's one of the worst decisions I've ever seen. Can you imagine Andy Reid with Mahomes doing that?
Well, that was the other thing, too. Dude, if you don't get it, they have the ball at the 8-yard line. You stop them, hopefully, and you get it back and you try to do it again. You're not kicking a field goal, man. You're absolutely not under any circumstance.
God.
And it's like, and outside of anything else, just like game strategy, hey, man, Aaron Rodgers, do I owe it to one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time right now, who I have as my quarterback, and I guess for maybe the final time, you know, at 37 years old here, do I let him try to win the football game? Yes, I do. He's earned the right. I mean, come on. So
you have to, like, look, I don't care, man. You lose, whatever, you live it. You go down with your best guy. That's it. Like, you let Rodgers throw that ball. You take your chances. And you know what? If he doesn't get it, he doesn't get it. Then they're pinned at the 8-yard line, and you got to get a stop anyway. You still got to get a stop. It was mind-blowing. I don't understand what he was doing. And I just, to me, that's your guy. That's your opportunity. Like, I mean, take a shot. You don't get it, fine. You'll live with that. You'll never regret that. To kick a field goal there is just, it's so cowardly.
It's also where the Packers lost the game. Early in the game, they settled for three. They did not, once they got inside the 10, whatever you know, miscommunications, drop passes, could have run the ball more. People were yelling at Aaron Rodgers on third down that he should have run it. I mean, I love Twitter. You're the greatest, but when people are screaming at Aaron Rodgers on how to play quarterback, I have a hard time with it. But in this particular case, they probably were right. At least if he runs it, you know, and then maybe you're a yard or two away if he doesn't get there, and it's fourth down and you can go from there. But they, inside the 10, they were brutal. They were. And that was just a killer. Man, and then dropped who dropped the 2-point conversion?
Equanimity
St. Brown. Was that who it was?
Look, you know what, too? Look, let's just put it out there.
Like, and that was deflected and give Ndamukong Suh credit, right, but still catch the football. Tough.
No, all I was going to say is, you know what, man? I know we can move on, but like, people get so bound to statistics that go on through the course of the year. You hear about the Packers, you know, they have the best red zone offense in the last 15 years. Okay. But this is one game. Like, it's one game. It's not a series. It's one game. Trends, to me, it goes out the window in these games. It just does. Like, who's got the best team on that specific day? And that's why football is so fun, because you don't know what's going to happen. Yeah, you could predict and whatnot, and that's all fine. But, like, you don't know what's going to happen. And the Chiefs defense has been awful in the red zone all year. They were great tonight. It's about specific matchups. The Packers had their chances. What will haunt the Packers had every opportunity to win that game. And they just flushed it down there. They just couldn't do it.
Hey, this is Brady's going to go 20 of 36. He's going to throw three interceptions. What odds if you were told that I'm not going to tell you how many touchdown passes he throws, but I won't give you that stat, but he's 20 of 36 and he's going to throw three picks. What odds would the Packers have had that they'd win the football game?
Oh God, 97.
Right. It's a killer. And by the way, I think Tom was very, very good. Obviously the play at the bomb right before halftime was phenomenal. Great read. And I'm taking a chance. It's kind of a no-brainer, but he still put it exactly on the money, man. And I just thought the way they came out, there was a lot of conviction there. Chris Godwin, though, he dropped some balls too. So, I give Tom a solid B-plus today, even with the picks. I don't know how you looked at it.
I gave him a C-plus. I mean, it's a lot of picks, man. I mean, listen, Colin, we're talking a lot differently about this game. If the Packers could have done anything.
The reason why I'm not killing his picks, because all of them are punts, basically. He wasn't throwing them. There was no pick sixes, nothing that really changed the flow of the game.
No, but man, at one point, I mean, the one he threw high to Evans, I mean, that was a potential killer. I mean, they're down there at 5 points. Yeah, he sails it.
It wasn't great, and Mike Evans got killed for it, but it was not a good throw.
He was not. Listen, I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you this right now. We can move on at this. Brady in this game, like, he plays like that in 2 weeks. Yeah, that ain't going to cut it. Like, he's going to have to play better than that. And I just looked at that game, and it was like, he was all right. I mean, he was fine. Like, the Packers played some ridiculous coverages, and he beat it. But, like, I don't know. I didn't walk away from that game going, yeah, man, he looked great. A lot of helium balls.
I mean, the most impressive thing about Tampa today was that they got to Rodgers a lot.
Yes.
Significant
five
pressure.
Sacks. Again, which is how many times they had sacks in the first game.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Into the future we go here. Will the Chiefs continue to play this well defensively in the Super Bowl is what you're asking. Go ahead, Rem. What do you think?
I bring it up because in the playoffs, it's been lights out. 17 points against Cleveland. I mean, I know 24 against Buffalo, but realistically 15 before it was a full-on, you know, garbage special.
Sure.
I think they are, man. Like, I just – Spagnuolo just dials it up. He's a great coordinator. They play really well against the pass. They've done that all year long. I think they're going to be very hard to beat defensively. I really do. Like, I already read a prediction where somebody's like, yeah, I think this is going to be 45-44. I'm going to give you a spoiler. It is not going to be 45-44. They can play defense. They're not great. Not making them out like they're a top five unit or anything, but they're very good against the pass. And the Buccaneers, to me, have no path to winning the game by running the football. That's not happening. They're going to need to throw, and they're going to throw it a lot.
Yeah, I don't want to be overconfident Kansas City guy over here, but and honestly, I'm not a diehard Chiefs fan, so I'm just trying to look at it realistically. I don't see the Bucs' path to winning. Do I think the Chiefs will play well defensively in the Super Bowl? Yeah, I do. I mean, Tyrann Mathieu had a phenomenal, phenomenal year all over the field. They're getting to the quarterback. I mean, who the Bucs? I'm not exactly terrified of their offensive firepower here. I mean, I think they can score, but I don't think they're going to, you know, you're talking about putting up, you know, a ton of points to be able to score with Kansas City. I just don't see it. So I don't think anybody's going to see it, even though you just mentioned somebody saying 45-44. I want to know who that person is. So, yes, I expect them to play well. The Eric Fisher injury, though, is a little bit different here. You know, so because, I mean – Patrick Mahomes is a little dinged up right now. He wasn't moving great. So now you're losing, you know, some of his protection, at least. That could have an impact. I mean, that's, to me, is the only way this game goes sideways, is if they get to Mahomes and they get him out of the football game. That's the path for Tampa to win, and that's the only path.
I think they're going to go after him a lot, and I think I agree with you. That is the path. Now, the flip side is, I always believe this. Whenever there's one real obvious path, it's like the pretty much the only way that team's going to win. Like, the other coaching staff also understands that that's the path for that team to win. So I think you're going to see a lot of chips. You're going to see a lot of quick outs, a lot of quick throws, get the ball in Kelsey's hand, get it in Hill's hands. Look, the problem for the Buccaneers is they cannot cover the Chiefs. And so if you get into a game where Mahomes is just – they're bootlegging him, they're keeping him back into block – like, the Fisher injury is significant. He's a very good left tackle. The Bucs have a very good front. It matters. However, the Chiefs know this and realize, like, if we can block to any degree or just roll him, we're going to have mismatches all over the place down the field. I mean, they just can't cover. I think it's significant. It doesn't change the way I feel about the game. I just think with 2 weeks, now if this happened like the second play of the Super Bowl, it'd be a huge deal. But they've got 2 weeks to get ready for it. They're not going to be caught off guard. I think they'll be okay.
Who's going to play the position?
Well, they're probably going to slide Mike Remmers from right tackle to left tackle. Now, Remmers has been very good at right tackle. Left tackle, we'll see. Is that a different story? It could be. And then Andrew Wiley, who's been their starting guard, is going to kick out the tackle. Now, he did it against Cam Jordan. And he did it so well that Cam Jordan punched him and got thrown out of the game. Now, does that mean he's going to do it again? I don't know. Andrew Wiley's an average guard. So putting him at tackle is a bit terrifying. Now, Stefan Wisniewski's going to fill in a guard for Wiley, which is fine. Wisniewski's been very good for them the last couple of years. I actually think in some ways it makes him better inside, quite honestly. But I expect that they will chip and they will help and they will move guys out and they'll do different things. But I just think with Andy Reid, 2 weeks and all those weapons, they'll figure it out.
Yep. And that's, I mean, look, Green Bay had to deal with the same situation basically, and they did not lose because they didn't protect Aaron Rodgers, although it did have an impact on the game today. Let's be clear. It did. And they still should have won the football game, but they ended up losing. I don't know. That's one. I mean, if you're Tampa right now, you are thinking, all right, well, that's one little thing that hopefully will have a huge impact in Super Bowl 55. Left tackle is a big deal, obviously. But I you're right, though. They have plenty of time to figure out how they want to do it. Let's go back to Green Bay here. You're asking, is there any real chance that Aaron Rodgers is out? And this is bizarre. The dude is going to win the MVP. He was phenomenal. That's what happens when you win the MVP.
Yeah.
Yet it seems like at least Aaron is thinking that it might be time to move on. This is a little wild here. I can't imagine that this could become a thing, but it's a conversation point right now, which I feel caught off guard by this. Like, come on, man. You're in the Final Four. You're running it back all day long here. Jordan Love, you're going to have to wait your turn.
I don't think there's any way in hell he's out of there. Any way in hell. I would be beyond floored. I can't even imagine a scenario. I mean, to me, that was just a little bit of emotion talking after the game. Where is he going that's a better spot?
I don't know.
Nowhere.
I think Bears? Maybe. Sure.
Yeah.
Let's go.
I mean, where is he going? I will say, though, if you're Rodgers, man, you are probably really hot for a long time about kicking that field goal late in that game. Doesn't mean I want out. Doesn't mean I'm going to get traded. But I'm just saying, that's not one of those things that you are just hot for a long time over.
I mean, LaFleur's comment after the game, by the way, is he better be back here. And Rodgers saying, I still believe in myself and I have a strong desire to play into my 40s. I'm just not sure how it all works together at this point. And he's pissed at LaFleur. I mean, saying that, you know, it wasn't my decision to kick the damn field goal. But, have your fight and move along with it. I don't know. Maybe he actually thinks he can never look that dude in the eye again with any level of respect. I mean, that could be part of it, at least right now, you know?
I'll tell you, though, that was one of the gutless calls I've ever seen. I mean, really. And I don't care. I know LaFleur after the game was like, well, you know, I feel like it was the right call. Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. I don't normally like just full on say that my opinion's right and the head coach of the NFL team's right. You're wrong. You're wrong. That was insane to kick that field goal there. Insane. There's no justification for kicking that field goal in that spot.
Yeah, it's okay. Let's try to think through his logic. If we kick the field goal here, then we stop them and then we get the ball back and then we score a touchdown and then we win. Versus if we don't get it, then we score a touch. It's like you're saying, I don't have any confidence in us ever picking up a 2-point conversion.
It's just like, what? You need 8 yards. He's Aaron Rodgers. I get it. If you were playing with a quarterback, you just felt like the guy is no shot. And he's Aaron Rodgers. He just threw 48 touchdown passes. Like I'm sorry, man. There's I'm normally here for a good back and forth. There is no defense. None.
Yeah, and that particular situation, if Rodgers ends up out of Green Bay, which, look, ultimately, dude's under contract. I mean, he could make it uncomfortable, but I think cooler heads will prevail here. But, wow.
No doubt. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah. Early feelings on the Super Bowl. You've got the Chiefs by 6. I've got the Chiefs by a couple of touchdowns.
I got 6+. I think the Chiefs will win by at least 6. I don't think, look, the only way the Bucks win is if they just pressure the hell out of Mahomes. that, and it's just constant the whole game. And even then, I don't know if it's enough.
You're going to need three McCole Hardman punts dropped. You're going to need, I don't know, maybe I'm over the top here. You're going to need a lot of turnovers, more than one.
Agreed. I agree with that, though.
That would be one way to do it. You're going to need a couple strips, pick off Mahomes, something on special teams, Brady to play completely out of his mind. You can't be throwing three interceptions. Some of them too are like that pass seems way beneath what Tom Brady should be doing. I don't know. I got Kansas City and I got him big. There is the Bucs are at home, Verderam. Does that matter? I don't think it matters.
No, I don't care less.
How many
especially
people
especially this year? I don't think it
matters. Right, exactly. They're at home. How many fans are they going to? Although I will say, Kansas City today, that was the first time you actually felt like the crowd had an impact. I mean, you had Josh Allen going up to the line and barking out signals, and you could feel the crowd. All, 17,000 of them? How many people were in there?
Something like that, yeah. No, I don't think it matters much, man. I mean, they're only allowing 22,000 in. 7,500 of these people are first, responders and whatnot.
Right, right.
No, I don't think it's going to matter.
Which is really, by the way, that's really nice, but it's like, do you want to fly in the middle of a pandemic to go to a football game for two teams that you probably don't care about? I don't know. I want to go on a trip as badly as I want to do anything, but I don't know. It's not necessarily my first choice if I was a frontline worker here. Very nice gesture, though, by the NFL. Thank you, NFL. All right, let's do some in or out here. Packers had the worst weekend. I think that's an easy yes. I mean, what a disaster.
Well, I throw it out there because the Bills, they were up 9-0, and it felt – but to me, if you're the Bills, you're an ascending team. You're young. And look, yeah, there's clearly work to do to catch Kansas City. I think that's fair to say. But you can make a real strong argument. They're clearly the second-best team, and not just because they got the AFC title game, but they're just, I think, the second-best team in the conference. And you've got Allen, and you've got Diggs, and you've got a really good head coach, and you've got a good front office. Like, I think if you're Buffalo, you feel good about where you're headed. With the Packers, Rodgers is 38 and has had an MVP year. Like, I don't know that he ever has that year again. And it just feels like that was your best shot, and it didn't happen.
There's no doubt. I mean, when you're going to bed tonight, who's sleeping? Because I don't think Aaron Rodgers is sleeping.
Right.
Matt LaFleur, I mean, you are having a brutal night. The other side of it, though, is if you're Green Bay, all right, we're coming back. We're doing it again. I mean, there's just no you roll it out there again. Who you're going to be a significant favorite in the NFC next year? I mean, right? You're going to be picked to win. You're going to be picked to win the North. But it's football, man. It's so many variables, and it was sitting right there for you at home against 43-year-old Tom Brady. But and another thing, you had multiple times where you stopped it in the fourth quarter. You had the football, and it just didn't happen.
Yep.
All right. Patrick Mahomes is a Hall of Famer if he wins in 2 weeks and never plays another football game. Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
I think he is. I mean,
I thought about it and kind of laughed, and I was like, yeah, I do. I think he is too. we heard all week, I don't know. Josh Allen might be better than him. We heard, he's got turf toe. He's in the protocol. How's that going to go? He didn't get practice as much as he normally would. Well, here's how it went. 29 of 38 for 325 yards and 3 touchdowns and no picks. A QBR of 95.8 on a scale of 1 to 1. I'd say it went all right.
Youngest quarterback to ever go back-to-back in the Super Bowl. Youngest, what else? MVP?
He's been a starter youngest MVP. Youngest Super Bowl MVP as well. Like, he is 25 years old. He's been a starter for 3 years. They've been to the Super Bowl twice, the conference title game at home all 3 years. And, oh, by the way, if Dee Ford's could line up, they would have been in the Super Bowl all 3 years. They won one of them. They're favored to win a second one. He's got an MVP, a Super Bowl MVP. He's all pro. He's second team all pro. I mean, it is just I really think if they win the Super Bowl and he just was like, you know what, my fiance is expecting, I'm just going to ride off into the sunset. I really think he'd go to this Hall of Fame.
It'd be
Could
like
you tell the story of the NFL without him?
He's in there, man. It'd be like a Gale Sayers type of in there. Like, yeah. Let's just say, you know, worst case scenario of all time, they win the Super Bowl and next year he gets hurt and catastrophic injury, can't play. He's a Hall of Famer all day. It'd be the worst day ever in Kansas City sport history, but he'd be a Hall of Famer. Which, speaking of Hall of Famers, Tom Brady's legacy is enhanced, proving he's more than Belichick, in or out. It's impossible to add on to your legacy when you've won six Super Bowl championships, six rings, and everything else that Brady's done, but he somehow has added on. He has. There's no way. This is icing on top of the cake, on top of the frosting, on top of the icing, or whatever you want to call it. He has. He added. It's even. He's got a little extra on the Brady resume.
He has. I agree. And look, if they win and they beat Mahomes, man, then he's got that too. Like, we won at 43. I beat Mahomes in a Super Bowl.
Well, and people are, you know, they're comparing him, like, you know, it's not football comparison. It's no longer the best quarterback. It's, you know, is Brady better than Jordan because he's doing it into his 40s and he's taking another team to the Super Bowl, whereas Jordan couldn't make the playoffs with the Wizards. Would have if he didn't clang knees, but never mind. We don't need to go down that road. But, you know, that's like an argument that's going to make my head explode, but this is, I don't know what he's doing to keep himself on the field as well as he has, but it is remarkable, completely and utterly remarkable. He's going and going and going and now back to the Super Bowl again. Oh my God. I mean, people said in the offseason, like, you know what, Tampa is pretty good. He chose well. But, I mean, how many people really thought he was going to do this and be here? It's incredible.
It's unreal. 7-5, you weren't thinking it.
7-5, too.
They just lost to the Chiefs.
Yeah, it was getting dicey. They lost to the Bears on a Thursday night.
And here they are. Yeah. And here's Brady. And, look, I think he's been good at times this year. I think he's been so-so at times. But here we are. He's here. Credit. Give credit. He's been good enough. It's been incredible. It really has. His whole career has been insane.
There's some level of confidence that he's brought to that organization outside of anything else that has just mattered, period, end of story. When that dude walked through the door, I mean, even the way they were celebrating him on the podium tonight, he has resonated. There's been an uplift there when 12's walking around. And it also helps when you have the worst coaching decision today by Matt LaFleur kicking a field goal late for Green Bay. You got anything else that would be worse than that, in or out?
No, I mean, I put it on there. Which one's the worst? Because we talked about the Bills ones. We talked about the Packers. I mean, I didn't think I'd see a worse call all day than Mike Pettine's cover three decision. And yet, I think Matt LaFleur has got him. Like, that is so mind-numbingly dumb. I won't even get into it. I don't have any better words for it. It was so ridiculous. Nah, man, it's one of the worst calls I've ever seen. I think the worst call I've seen prior to that was Daryl Bevel throwing the ball at the 1 yard line for Seattle in the Super Bowl. And by the way, who is the beneficiary of both of them?
Yeah. He's dancing. He's dancing in the streets of Brady life right now. Giselle's having a great time too. She can't believe she's going to another Super Bowl.
The party continues for Giselle.
My God. So, well, we're here, man. One game to play in your pandemic Super Bowl 55, 2020, now into 2021 NFL season. I'll tell you, that Packer-Buck game, though, was phenomenal entertainment.
Great game.
60 minutes of just that was a great, great time. All right, Vertaram, what's going on in life outside of the fact that you're going back to the Super Bowl, buddy?
Got nothing else. Jeez. Who cares about the rest of it? Never thought I'd see them in the Super Bowl. Really, genuinely never thought it. And yet here I am. But if I have to throw something else out there, I love history, whether it's sports, military stuff. I've always been a big fan, U.S. history. I have recently, you know, I realized I had a hole in my sports game, and it was my lack of basketball knowledge. If you asked me who won like the 73 NBA finals, I could tell you, right? I could tell you who won the 69 NBA finals. But if you said to me, like, who do you got though? Like, all right, you know, who is better, the 65 Celtics or the 68, whatever. I would not know. And it bothers me because I love history. So I recently have been going down the rabbit hole here with the NBA, and it inadvertently has led me to the ABA, which I am just fascinated now by all things American Basketball Association. I just bought a book like by Terry Pluto, things like 400 some odd pages. Watch a couple docs on YouTube. I'm in. And I am going to learn way more than anybody ever should about a defunct basketball league that essentially left us with four teams.
What's going on over there? Is this midlife crisis? This is unbelievable.
It's a cry for help, I think. But it's but I really love history and I'm into it. I'll leave you with this. Have you ever heard of the deal that the Spirits of St. Louis made with the NBA when the ABA got folded up?
I actually do know. You'll have to remind me, but I have read about like some of the ridiculous contracts that were, how they were trying to basically get, like circus animals to fold the franchise. What's the deal for St. Louis?
Okay, it's the greatest business deal in history. Right?
Oh yeah, you know. Oh right, they were signed that they got a every year they got a whatever it had to be a million. They were paid in perpetuity on something.
Yeah. So what happened was,
and when then Stern, the ABA, Stern had to buy him out recently.
Yes, he did. He did. Yeah. Before he passed away. Set in 1976, the ABA is going to fold, and the NBA says we'll take four of the six teams that are still remaining. So they ended up taking the Nuggets, the Spurs, the Pacers, and the Nets. And really the only reason they took any of these teams was basically because of David Thompson and Julius Erving, but that's neither here nor there. So they take these teams. Spirits of St. Louis, which has only been around for 2 years. They want in, right? They want in. They can't get in. The NBA buys out the Kentucky Colonels, and then it's like, all right, look, we just want to buy out the Cylinder Brothers who own this St. Louis team. They won't do it. Like, this goes on for a while. And so it finally happens is they're like, look, how do we get you out of here? And they just said, look, we want a piece of the NBA pie.
It was the TV.
Eventually, we want to get back in. So we want a 1/7 TV share of the money for the four ABA teams that are going in. Now, the NBA agreed to it because it's 1976. Like, they're on tape delay for the finals. They have no TV revenue. They're like, yeah, fine. And as you stated, the contract says in perpetuity, which means forever, right? So, of course, as the years go on, 1/7 of a share of TV money for these teams is like unbelievable money. It ended up being over $500 million for the Cylinder Brothers. And they just got a check every year. Like, that was it. So all you had to do is go to the mailbox and get millions of dollars. It is the greatest business deal in history. It's unbelievable. And they were, as you mentioned, they were recently bought out. But this went on for well over 30 years. It's phenomenal. And I'm all in. I'm learning about it. It's fantastic. I love weird stuff like this. I always love to learn about the American Football League. I'm here for all of it.
That's awesome. I'm impressed. You're going to make me step up my game, which is great. That's why I love working with you, Verderam. You make me better, buddy. That's a good, solid, deep dive into sports right there. I've been watching docs. I've been doing some I watched Bobby Knight's 1976 doc the other day. Okay. So that was, I'm learning about the strong hands of Quinn Buckner. But we probably can end the podcast now on that note. I just got to say, I'll do it like this. Let me try to name off my Chiefs friends. Matt Verderam, Patrick Allen, Nick Wright, Carrington Harrison, Bob Fesco, Alex Huber, the whole Huber family. Let's see. So Ken
Zach and Best.
Ken and Chris, Zach Best. I mean, this is a long, long list, man. Mike Garner, who I used to battle it out in the tennis courts with back in my Kansas City days. There are so many Chiefs fans that I know. Eric Johnson, Jason Bradford. It's like I have a weird connection to this football franchise because working in Kansas City and then working at FanSided with all these Chiefs stuff. I mean, the Best family is, you know, obviously got, you know, have been huge for the old career and whatnot. Just so I'm happy for a lot of people, man. I'm happy for you, Verderam. That's the point. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And how you ever became a Chiefs fan is still a confusing thing to me. Maybe we'll do a deep dive on that on Wednesday.
We can get into it. We got plenty of time. A few weeks to fill up, man.
Yeah, baby. All right. Well, congratulations to Kansas City and congratulations to Tampa. Josh Hill, I know you're listening, buddy. You love this podcast. You're in the Super Bowl. You're going up against Hill, buddy. One of FanSided's best. Yeah. So I wonder if he thinks he has a chance. But, yeah, we'll see you on Wednesday. Congratulations to the Chiefs and the Bucks. Any final words, Verderam, on your way out to all your Chiefs fans?
Enjoy it. Don't take it for granted.
There we go. We'll see you next time.